Hello, and welcome to the podcast of Emmanuel Assemblies of God in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're so glad you've taken the time to listen. If you're ever in our area, we invite you to join us for one of our worship services. For times and locations, please visit at emmanuelag.com.
I know Easter is over. It was a great time. I'll tell you what, just meditating and thinking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ has just not left me, even though Easter's over. We're supposed to talk about it. But you know, the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 10 and 11, he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, that I may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. This verse right here could be, I really think I could make an argument that this is the central theme of the book of Philippians. You know, Paul at this point in his life, he's very close to being with the Lord. He knows it. He's even weighing the decision. He says, well, to depart and be with the Lord would be so much better just to be in his presence, to leave this body. But no, you need me here. So I'm convinced I'm going to stay. And you know, what'd he say? For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I mean, that's where he was in his life, looking back at all he's accomplished. He's not wavering. He's not questioning if this stuff is real or anything. He's ready to go. He's saying, but you need me here. I'm going to stay. But even now at this late place in my life, my main goal, my focus, everything about me is that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You know, he speaks in this book about how Jesus emptied himself, right? In Philippians 2, how he emptied himself and made himself obedient even to death on the cross. And he knows that he's walking in the steps of Jesus. He's emptying himself and he's not holding on to his life, willing to give it up and leave it to God. And so Paul's life's goal was to know him and the power of his resurrection. And for all believers, come on, there is an upward call for you and for me to lay hold of everything that Jesus died to provide. I mean, being saved is not the end. It's the beginning of a life in God where we grow in God, right? Where we go and we take hold of things. It's in this book where he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What does that mean? It means I've given you this salvation. It's a gift. It's a deposit. Now take this thing and work it out into every area of your life. Work it out into your family. Work it out into your relationships. Work it out into your body. Work it out in your life. This is what you have, but press on, keep moving so that you can know him in the power of his resurrection. This just captures my imagination. You know, I think about the power of his resurrection. What does this mean? How does it, you know, affect my life? Am I walking in the reality of this, or is this just something we get excited and sing about? No, this is something that is real. It's tangible. It affects everything about my life. The resurrection is everything. You know, Jesus, God didn't bring Christianity into the world to apologize for its existence, just to kind of set it alongside and just beg for a place to live with all the other religions and philosophies in the world. No, Jesus came as a champion, amen? He came as the one who was going to crush Satan's head, change things. It says in John, the book of John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Amen. How many of you know darkness never overcomes light? Not even the natural. Darkness never overcomes light. Things are looking darker and darker out there right now. Come on, I don't have to tell you that. You know that. But come on, the littlest light will be seen even more visible in the most darkest situation. So it's time for us to shine, amen?
Yes.
You know, in the earliest days of Christianity, an apostle was first and foremost a man who was an eyewitness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what an apostle was. Remember when they were trying to choose Judas's replacement? And Peter stood up among them and he says, basically, so one of the guys who accompanied us from the beginning in Acts 1:21, during all the time that Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. That's what an apostle was, a witness to his resurrection. In fact, the resurrection is the central theme in every sermon preached in the book of Acts. It's the resurrection. Because why? Because if Jesus rose from the dead, then the human problem is solved. Right? What is the human problem? Sin. and separation from God. Sin and separation from God. And it's a universal problem. You can see it in Isaiah 59. Behold, I love this verse. I love Isaiah 59. I wanted to read the whole chapter when I was preparing this, but I'm just going to read two verses. First two, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. I like that. His hand is not shortened. Sometimes people say, can God do anything? He's like, yeah, I can. My hand's not shortened. I can save, right? His ear is not dull that it cannot hear. But listen, but your iniquities have made a separation. This is the problem. Your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. So sin and separation from God, you see, they're the same problem. One causes the other. And sin, you know, it's not popular to talk about all the time. I don't even like talking about it all the time, but it is the problem, isn't it? And this is what Jesus came to deal with. And universal humankind are so aware and conscious of this problem. When you look at, you know, civilizations and ancient civilizations, there are always religious sites. There are always altars and places of worship and places of sacrifice. Why? Why? Because they carry within themselves just an awareness of guilt and alienation from somewhere they know they belong. There's just the echo of, I belong with my maker. I belong with God. I belong. There's more to life than this. And you can see it all through history. The temples and the places of worship and the altar, they cover the earth. And what is it? It's people reaching out, trying to be united to God once again. And so Jesus comes with his one-time sacrifice, right? Amen. Come on. His once-for-all-time sacrifice, putting away sin and making a way to come to God through his blood. I was listening to C.S. Lewis. I found a little video clip around Easter time where he was speaking about the resurrection. And he said, the resurrection involves a series of changes moving in the opposite direction of those that we see. I thought that was interesting. It's a series of changes moving in the opposite direction from what we see. How many of you know that the current of the present culture right now is headed toward death? There is a current in the world, and it's a culture of death. Jesus described it when he said there are two roads, right? There's the broad way and the wide gate, and it leads to destruction. There's a narrow way, and it leads to life, right? But the broad way, the strong current, and the current is becoming swifter even later. I mean, it's just picking up speed to the point where if you're going to walk against it, it's going to take great intention and even strength.
Right?
You've waded through a small little stream and you walk in there and it's no problem, right? But then when that thing hits flood stage, if you get in there, you're going to be swept away, you know? And that's where the culture is going. It's going quicker and quicker to destruction. It's just wide open. And to go against it, you need supernatural strength. You need the resurrection power of God in your life to be able to do that.
Amen.
And so he says it's a series of changes moving in the opposite direction to those we see. I thought this was so interesting because I'm thinking about this and I'm looking at it. And you know, God's ways are not our ways, but more so. Okay, God's ways are different than our ways, right? Right, we know God's wisdom. God's wisdom is not man's wisdom, but just smarter and craftier. No, God's wisdom will turn man's wisdom on its head. It's completely different from anything we've experienced before. And thank God, God's love is not like human love, but just more so. I mean, a lot of human love is what? Self-centered, right? It's got motives, it's got, you know? But God's love is, it's a completely different kind of love that once you've experienced it, you know what real love is. God's life, his eternal life, thank God, is not just natural life, but more of it. You tell that to some people and they're so despaired in life, you say, hey, God wants to give you forever lasting life. And they're like, I don't want to go that long. Life is hard. No, what is everlasting life? Everlasting life is the God kind of life. Everlasting life is the sap that flows from the vine into the branches that cause the branches to bud and bear fruit, right? Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. It's being connected to the life of God again. That's what eternal life is. And it starts right now. It starts now. When you are saved and you come into Jesus Christ, you have eternal life now. You've laid down your life. You've laid down your old man. You're crucified with Christ. That's the dying that you're going to do. Read in the Bible. Every time an apostle died, they didn't talk about dying so much as just putting off of this tent and going to be with the Lord. That's going to be the easiest thing that we do. But God's life, thank God, isn't natural life, but more of it. What's eternal life? John 17:3 says, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. What was Paul's aim? To know him. To know him and the power of his resurrection. God's power is not human power, but more of it. You know, a lot of times, you know, sure, God will help you. And it's right to pray for God to help me. Help me do this. Help me with my job. Help me with my family. Help me help the doctor with the medicine. You know, those, and he will do that. But God has ways of doing things that are beyond what you and I have ever even imagined. And as we pray for God to help us and we go and attack these giants with best we can, man, just keep your heart open for God to do beyond what you could even ask or imagine. Because he has ways to do things that you and I, we've not even thought about yet. No eye has seen or ear has heard. The resurrection narratives in the Bible are not a picture of survival after death. They record how a totally new mode of being has arisen in the universe. So when you see the stories in the Bible about Jesus being raised from the dead, it's not just, hey, I survived. No, when he brought resurrection life, he brought a new order to the universe, a new way of being, a new way of living. The Bible speaks of it. It's the initiation. It's the beginning of what the Bible calls new creation, which has begun at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so here we have the disciples in the boat. Remember, they're in the storm and they're straining at the oars and Jesus is in the boat asleep. This has got to be one of my favorite stories because there's so many things to see in this story. Jesus is asleep in the boat and they're working at the oars. And I mean, they're probably bailing water and trying to secure the sail and all this stuff. And they're getting frustrated with Jesus. They wake him up and they say, don't you care? But think about this. They weren't asking for a miracle. They just wanted Jesus to get up and help bail water. That's what they wanted. They weren't thinking he's going to do something special here. Don't you care? Come on, get up, grab a bucket, grab an oar, do something. We're about to be shipwrecked here. They wanted him to eat his spinach and help roll back to shore. You know, Popeye is back to, that would have been a great miracle for them. But Jesus had something totally different in mind. Jesus stands up and he starts talking to the weather. And this is an example of what we can see in resurrection life. There are some things you're going to go through, you're going to fight, God's going to give you strength to work through. And there's other things that you're going to declare and they're going to be gone. There are things that you're going to speak to and the mountain will be gone. There are things that you're going to curse and it's going to shrivel up and die like the fig tree. Because this is how resurrection life works. It's different than natural life. It's not just natural life, but more so, it's a whole different way of being. And he can do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we can ask or think. Listen, according to the power that is at work within us. Man, to know him and the power of his resurrection. The resurrection, like I said earlier, it solves the human problem. Why? Because it reunites humankind with our creator God. The resurrection makes man a partaker of the divine nature. This is what the communion elements represent. You know, when we take communion and we take the bread and the blood, we're partaking of the nature of God. You know, I love the fact, and we practice, we take communion in our church, but you know, you can take communion right here, even without the elements, if you will just take the time to reflect on your relationship to God, to remember his death, to remember his body broken, and recognize that you are a partaker of God's nature through the blood of Jesus Christ. I want to invite you just to do that right now. Lord, I just thank you for your blood poured out for me. I thank you for your body broken for me. Father God, I commit my life into your hands. You've committed your life to me at that table when you poured out your blood. Oh, Father God, I commit my life to you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 3, or chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. That's a big thought right there, isn't it? Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. I mean, what's the problem? Sin. Jesus puts away sin. Now you and I can actually partake of the nature of God Himself. What would that look like if we were walking in the fullness of that? How would my world change if I came to the realization that I am actually connected to God? And His power is working in me and in my life. How might that change my circumstances? How might that change my situation, my body, my family? What might that look like if I was walking in the fullness of it, pursuing it like the Apostle Paul? I looked that up in a couple of different versions. There's one called the Easy to Read Version. Listen to what it says. It says, through which He also gave us the very great and rich gifts that He promised to us. I like that. Gave us these gifts that He promised us. With these gifts, you can share in being like God. So let that sink in for a second. Being like, are we supposed to be like God? That is the example, isn't it? Yeah. That is the example. And so you will escape the ruin that comes to people in the world because of the evil things that they want. Thank God He's changed our hearts, right? Yeah. Thank God He changes my desires. I don't want the corruption and the evil things in the world anymore. I don't want the sin. I want God. What about you? Yeah. Phillips translation says that He has by His own action. I like that. By His own action. It means He did it. It's the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. By His own strength, by His own arm, by His will, by His initiative, He has given us everything that is necessary for living the truly good life. Amen. In allowing us to know the one who has called us to Him. There you go. And allowing us to know the one. What's the eternal life? That they may know you. Through His own glorious goodness, it is through Him that God's greatest and most precious promises have become available to us men, making it possible for you to escape the inevitable disintegration that lust produces in the world. Look at that, the inevitable disintegration. That's where the world's headed. And to share in God's essential nature. And finally, one more. I want to read it out of the King James Version. I like this one. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What does God have for us today, right here in this world? As things get darker, come on, you have an energy source inside of you, if you know Jesus Christ, that you can draw from to overcome the evil that's in the world. Jesus Himself said what? I'm not praying that you take them out of the world. Sometimes I've prayed that. God, rapture now. I don't like how things are going. Time for rapture. Let's go. Maranatha. Our Lord, come. Come on. Sometimes I look at things going. I'm like, I'm ready. Let's go. But Jesus said, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one.
Amen.
So you have the power to escape the corruption that's in the world, to live a godly life in the middle of a crooked and perverse generation, to demonstrate the kingdom of God in your life. Yes. You're heaven's answer in the sense that Jesus went to heaven and you're His body. And He wants to be present in people's lives, and He does it through the church. He does it through you. He does it through your life, how you live every day. Amen? So I just want to ask you this. I mean, just think about this for a moment. And Tom, can you guys get ready to come up? Is Kaylee around? If she's done, she can come up too and just do that. Get ready to do that last song for me. I just want to ask you this. Is this my Christian experience? And I'm not asking, you know, if you believe or if you've prayed the prayer, but I'm just asking, are we experiencing this to the level that you think we can? And I mean, I can tell you right now, this is one of those questions is like, no, the answer is no. Because here is Paul, the Apostle Paul, who did so much all his life. And in his later years, he's saying, I'm still pressing on to know him. I'm still pushing on to make this my own. Because there's more if we will seek him. Amen? And Philippians 3:10, the verse I opened with, it goes on. It says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Next verse, not that I have already obtained it, or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Jesus Christ has made me his own. Man, the Christian life starts from that place. Jesus Christ has made me his own. And now I am pressing on to take hold of everything that Jesus has taken hold of me. Amen. What I want to do just for the next couple of minutes, is my wife somewhere around or is she working? I don't see her. Just if she's around, tell her to come up here. What I want to do, I just want to take a moment. I know we had a great time of worship this morning. But in light of these resurrection truths, I want to take this moment and just challenge you to seek and press on that you may know him and the power of his resurrection. I want to just take a moment as we sing this song again. And also what I want to do is just open up for a time of prayer. If you would like minister to in prayer, I would like to pray for you at this time as they're singing. Simply come up and we'd like to minister, agree with you, and just go to the Lord on your behalf. Amen.